Welcome to the Rev Podcast, the place where we share the Word of God from Revelation Church. I'm your host, Sister Lee, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. In today's show, we're going to hear from Bishop Mike Wilson as he preaches a sermon entitled Chips Off the Old Block. Part one now. Remember part one. Please come back for part two. Taken from 2 Samuel 13. But before we get started, don't forget to subscribe to the Revs Podcast. Now, let's dive into our episode today. It's a really good one. I can't wait for you to hear.
There are some traits and actions in our lives that we don't mind if our children emulate them. We see that very thing in the sports world today with LeBron James and his son Bronny. Bronny has followed his father's footsteps by choosing to play professional basketball. And Franklin Graham has followed in his father's, Billy Graham's, footsteps. By taking over his ministry and leading one that he founded, which is Samaritan's Purse. But like his father, he is spreading the gospel and helping the helpless. But sometimes a son will imitate negative traits. Sons becoming absentee fathers just like their fathers were. Some will take on gang membership and prison lifestyles just like their fathers did. Their actions hurting loved ones generation upon generation. In our passage today, we have two sons who have taken on their father's negative attributes. Amnon and Absalom, half-brothers. David's sons enter into a place of darkness that their father found himself in not too long ago. Darkness has come to visit David's house once again, and this time his sons are the perpetrators of this darkness. Scriptures tell us in Matthew 15 and 19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Indeed, in this chapter, we have evil thoughts, murder, and sexual immorality, deception, selfishness, hatred. When sin rises, it never rises alone. It always brings its partners. And I believe that's one thing that we have to know and understand. We might think that we're just sinning in one way, but that sin encompasses more sins. Sin is like a magnet, one to the other. I may be lying, but that lying going to encompass some deception, going to encompass some other immoral acts. Amen. That we might not have intended it to happen, or it may be our intention, but sin very seldom rides alone. Our title for today is Chips Off the Old Block, part one and two. Today we will look at chip number one, Amnon, with 2 points in this particular passage of scripture: obsession and violation. Next week we will look at chip number two, hatred and murder. Didn't it just get dark in here? We were just singing praise songs. Now we're talking about obsession and violations. Hatred and murder. Yes, that's in the Bible. And a lot of times people are out here sitting and act like saved people don't understand what they're doing.
That's right.
You know what? Every saint was a sinner.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
and still sin.
Come on, bring it out.
And need God's help.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You know, sometimes your young people, if your parents, they think you don't understand some of the stuff they're doing. Some of the tricks that they're playing. Some of the deception that they're pulling. They think that because you're older, you don't understand what the younger generation is doing.
Right. That's true.
But the Bible lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun. All it is sin repackaged in new packaging, but the same old inside.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Amen. It might have new language, but it's the same old darkness.
Yeah.
It's
right.
The same old stuff that caused us havoc. Amen. It's causing them havoc.
That's right.
Amen. We give it new names and, amen, we attribute new attitudes to it, but it's the same stuff. Murder is still murder. Sin is still sin. Lying is still lying. And that's one thing that we see in today's passage of scripture. We see how dark the heart can get. And sometimes we believe just because of our upbringing, there's some things that we will not do.
Watch out.
Uh-huh. We say to ourselves, I won't go down that far.
Right.
But I like to tell you there are stronger people than you.
Yes.
Amen. That have lived more exemplary lives than you have. That have found themselves in predicaments that they have fallen further than they thought they would have.
True.
Amen. And that one person was David, who we talked about a month ago. How him being an exemplary personage in the Bible, but because a man of his flesh left unchecked, he sank to depths and levels that he probably thought he would never sink to.
Right.
Amen. But it's only pride of us to think that I'll never do that.
Right.
Amen. There's too much that can go on in your life that could cause you to fall in such a way that you would do things that you never would have fathomed you would have done.
That's right.
And even, amen, before you were saved, and even, amen, sometimes after you're saved, you find yourself doing things that are heinous.
Mm-hmm.
And should not even be named once
amongst
us. And that's why we're so grateful for the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ. We're thankful for that, because how else could we stand before God? The scriptures say, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But we could not come boldly unless we had some help in order to do it. We need God's help. Amen. In order even to come, amen, to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I know some of you haven't sinned so bad. You haven't done too much.
Goody too.
Yeah, I know you're laughing. You got to laugh. Amen. Even for us known as good people, they'd say, oh, Mike's a good boy. Oh, but Mike's a good sinner. He's done some heinous, some bad, some evil stuff. Amen. Listen here. Some people want to think about big stuff and big sins that people commit. Oh, he robbed a bank and did all of this other stuff. You know, he's just terrible.
Yeah.
But the same deception that was used to rob that bank is the same deception you used the other day. Amen. To do something. Amen. Or get away with something that you wanted to get away with.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Amen. It's the same heart. Amen. Just used on another level.
Yeah.
And that's why the Sermon on the Mount was preached, to let you know your heart is evil. To let you know it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God is the only one that knows your heart and the level that could sing to.
Woo!
Amen. And in life, tell us, and some of you can just stand straight up and say, I've been there.
Yes,
lying. Stealing. Committing sexual sin. Drugs. Alcohol. And if we didn't murder with a knife, we murdered with our tongue.
Oh, all day long.
We got them strewn all over the place. We've killed people all different kinds of ways. But we can be thankful for the love of God. Praise the Lord. We can be thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. So when you judge a Christian, amen, and you say, look, I thought you was a saint. Amen. I thought you were this. I thought you were that. Listen here. Amen. You won't be perfect till you hit perfect ground. But even though your life, amen, is filled, amen, or has times of where you fall at, amen, your life is still going in a Godward direction. Amen. You are not happy for your sins. Amen. You struggle with your sins. Amen. You fight so that you can be relieved of your sins. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. And it's only by the grace of God.
Only by His grace.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's only by the grace of God that we can come before the throne of God and not fear, amen, God's wrath. Amen. The scripture said that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Why do we have that? Because of Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Because, amen, of His life, not our life. Amen. Because of His sacrifice, not our sacrifice. Amen. Because of His resurrection, not ours. Amen. We have this hope. Amen. Because of who Jesus is. And that's why we can stand before the Lord. Amen. Understanding that He don't see our life. He sees His life. Isn't that good? Amen. You can come before me and I can see some stuff on you. And I'm a human just like you are. I can come before you and you can see some stuff on me. I'm human. But listen here. If you come before God, God not just see the outward stuff. He see the stuff that's going on the inside.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. It says that our God, He dwells in unapproachable light. God is so holy, amen. If He would come and darken this place, nobody could stand. Amen. You have to go to your knees.
Preaching.
Amen. Because of His power and the holiness that it exudes. And I know that you might say, well, the Christians always saying this and they always saying that. But I ain't never seen that power. I ain't never seen, amen, God open up and show me, amen, His glory. Don't ask for something, amen, that you might not want, amen. Don't act like God is impotent and He can't do what He says He could do. Amen. Don't slander God, because God at any time can show you that you don't slander me.
Yes, yes.
Amen. You don't take my name in vain.
Yes.
You don't just talk about me like you want to talk about me. And listen here, don't just talk about my people like you want to talk about.
Yes.
God said, if you do anything to one of these little ones of mine, it's better that you had a millstone hung on your neck and cast yourself into the sea. You think God don't care about His people?
Yes.
He cares about His people. Just because you get away for a little while don't mean that God don't see.
That's right.
And that he can't call His judgment on you anytime He gets ready.
He's good account.
Praise the Lord. So I would tell you, be careful how you speak about God.
Yes.
Be careful how you speak about God's people.
Yes.
Not because they're so special, amen, but because He has made them special.
In His image.
Amen. He said that he has called us a chosen generation.
Yes.
A royal priesthood.
Yes.
Not because we deserved it, but because of His mercy and grace, He allowed us. He chose us.
Yeah.
He called us out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself.
Yes.
Amen. God is calling us as being Christians, amen, not to make excuses for our sins. Amen. But to confess our sins. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed.
Yes.
Amen. We, amen, shouldn't sit around acting like we don't do nothing wrong. Amen. That gives the world something to hang their head on. But when you come and say, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
I spoke too soon.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me. I said too much.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me. I did too much.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, forgive me. I took what I shouldn't have taken.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be a lot better off.
Yeah.
Amen. Than trying to cover your sin. Amen. You remember back in chapter 11, David had invested himself in covering his sin. Amen. He had invested himself in covering his sin, and all he did was sin no more. The more you cover, the more you sin. Amen. He went from adultery, amen, to murder. All why? Because he was trying to cover his sin. And so, church, let's not cover our sin. Amen. Let's throw it open.
Yes, sir.
And come before God.
Yes, sir.
And say, God, forgive me.
Yes, sir.
God, forgive me of what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You think God is not concerned about your thought life? He's concerned about what you think. Amen. Don't go around here and say, I can think anything I want to think. No, you shouldn't be thinking all those things, because if you leave it in your head too long, it's going to come out in your limbs. Why do you think the scripture, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's talking about stuff that's going on in your head.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying that, listen here, you have the power to combat that. Using God's weapons. So listen here, don't just let stuff swim around in your head. Amen. Expel them. Amen. Evict them. Tell me, if you had a house, amen, and you were renting it out to renters, and you find out that they are destroying the house, and they are not paying rent, you're going to go somewhere and get that, what's that, 5 days or quit or whatever, get that summons, and you're going to go to court, and the whole idea is to evict them off of your property. Because you want to save your property.
Yes.
So likewise, with stuff that's going on in your head,
amen,
those things in your head, they are paying no rent. And they're tearing up your life. Amen. They're causing you to do things that you would not do.
Yes.
So what you need to do is go before the throne.
Go.
And say, God, I want an eviction notice.
Yes, yes.
I want an eviction notice, amen, for lust.
Yes.
I got to evict him out of my head.
Yeah.
I want an eviction notice for deception.
Because
I see, amen, that it's causing me problems.
Yes.
Lord, I need you to evict them out of my head.
I like this.
And don't you know the Lord will send the Holy Ghost to your head and tell lust you have to leave. It would also tell deception, amen, this is your last day. We don't have a 5 day acquit. Amen. In this kingdom, it's immediate eviction.
Yes.
Upon reception of the request, the eviction is immediate.
Yes.
Amen. You don't have to have those things hanging around.
Yes.
But you know why we let them hang around? I ain't even got into my sermon, man. I got to get there. We, the reason why we let them hang around because we like how they act.
You done got acquainted with
them. We visiting the house.
Participating
in what's going on in the house.
Yes, yes.
Amen. We'll let them hang around a little while longer. If they keep on not paying, then I'll get them. But you just talking. Empty words. You want them to hang around because they make you feel comfortable.
Yes.
Amen. They make you feel loved or whatever else it is. You got all these faults. You even deceiving your own self.
Yes.
All the while they tearing your house up and laughing at tearing it up.
Bring that out.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We got it good because we got a Savior
that
will help us evict those thoughts. Amen. That's what David should have done. You remember when David, he went out there on the roof. David went on the roof. He should have started his eviction plan then. Amen. But he went on the roof and he stayed on the roof. Amen. He stayed on the roof long enough to see that that was a beautiful woman. Amen. And when he saw that that was a beautiful woman, amen, he called in more friends to his mind. Let's find out about her. What's her name? We have to see. We have to understand. Amen. That sin, amen, is deceptive. And we need to get rid of it expeditiously. But let me move on. Where was I? Chip number one. Chip number one, all of this goes together. They got this problem, amen. Chip number one. This is Amnon. And we read in the scriptures, it says here in verse 1, now Absalom, David's sons, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's sons, loved her. That's the problem when you're a chip off the old block. Sometimes you see things like they saw things. And he couldn't keep his eyes off of this beautiful woman. We see that David had the same problem. We see here Amnon has the same problem. And it looks like it's even more heinous because the beautiful woman is his sister.
Lust.
Says here, obsession is the idea or thought that continually preoccupies or intrudes on a person's mind.
That's true.
And that's what we have here, amen, with Amnon. Amen, he is obsessed.
Right.
It says here in verse 2, and Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin and seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. One thing that obsession does, it causes you to lose your focus. It will cause you to lose focus on other important things in life.
That's right.
If you focus in on something forbidden, it has the possibility of ruining a person's life, along with the lives of others.
That's true.
In this text, Amnon is the man with an evil obsession. He sees his half-sister Tamar and her beauty. And the scripture says, after time, he loved her. Verse 2 shows us the intensity of this obsession. He was so tormented by the fact that she was a virgin and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her that he became ill. Physically ill because he could not have what his heart desired. Leviticus 8:18, 9 and 11. I want to read that to you. It says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, your father's daughter, or your mother's daughter, whether brought up in the family or in another home. You leave you leave her alone.
Right.
And it says in verse 11, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter.
That's right.
Could be your stepsister.
Right.
Brought up in the family, in the father's family, right, since she is your sister.
Open it up.
So leave your sister alone and leave your stepsister alone. That's what the law said. Yeah, you could suffer grave damage because of that. It shows us that incest was forbidden, and Amnon would have known that. But evil obsession will disregard the word of God to possess its obsession. Amnon wanted Tamar. She was his lustful desire. His mind was focused on her. And that takes us to the plot, to the plan. Obsession will open you up to unwise counsel.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
We see in verse 3, it says, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab.
He was an evil man.
The son of Shimeah, David's brother. That's his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Jonadab was a very crafty man.
Like
sometimes you got to watch out for those crafty people.
Like a snake.
And he said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Then Jonadab said to him, "Yes, I got a plan for you."
Snake. Man, a snake.
Whenever you talk to a friend or something like that and they do this here, beware. They start folding their hands. They got a devious plan for you. Say, listen here. Jonadab said, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. Like I said, obsession will open you up to unwise counsel. And the unwise counselor in this passage is Jonadab, his cousin. All kin is not good kin.
That's right. Let's go.
Jonadab was ready to give foolish counsel, the kind that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. First, Jonadab prods Amnon as to why he is looking so haggard, and Amnon tells of his love for Tamar. Jonadab comes up with a plan to get Amnon alone with Tamar. The plot begins with deception. Amnon pretending to be sick. And when David comes to visit Amnon, he urges David to tell Tamar to come to his house to prepare food for him. By doing that, he could be alone with Tamar. So Amnon puts the plot into action, and David unknowingly aids in the deception.
Just like
his father,
man,
used people,
yes,
so his son is using his father. Amen. Jonadab's counsel disregards God's word,
yes,
and scratches Amnon's itching ears, and cares nothing for the innocence of Tamar. So when you are obsessed, it will open you up to bad counsel. You listen to people that tell you what you want to hear. You listen to people, amen, of like-mindedness, rather than listening to the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. Obsession just wants what it wants. Amen. And if you can help supply it, amen, they're going to listen to you.
That's That's right.
But the counsel is not always wise. And you'll find out that people, a lot of times, that give unwise counsel, they don't get caught up in your mess.
No, they don't.
Right. Amen. They tell you what to do. You get in trouble. And they look back and sometimes laugh at what you did. So it's important, amen, that you find out where you're getting your information from. First of all, judge yourself as being obsessed with something that you shouldn't be obsessed with. Amen. Listen here. If God is not first, amen, obsession is easy to arrive. It might not be a person. It could be a thing. It could be your own children sometimes.
Yes, yes.
You can be so obsessed with them, you don't see, amen, a correct judgment. Amen. You let them do and say anything they want to do and say.
Yes, yeah.
You do that all under the guise as I love them.
Yeah.
Amen. But if you really love them, a lot of times you'd come out, all right, you guys said you got to go off on this tangent.
Yeah.
I'll regress back to my old age and won't tell you to do what I did, all right? But I do believe that there needs to be some discipline,
yes,
in a child's life.
Yes.
Because one thing you don't understand is that children love discipline.
That's right.
Amen. They feel loved when somebody's caring about them. I didn't say abuse, I said discipline.
Yes, sir.
Because discipline is meant to bring the best out of a child.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Where was I at? Obsession will do that, cause you to listen to the wrong person. And they will sometimes laugh at you when you fall. Talk about you when you fall. You even see that in this passage of scripture. We'll get into it next week. But this same guy, Jonadab, knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And he talks to David about what's going on. But he, amen, is the one that helped to set the mess in motion.
A snake.
But he's sitting around just talking to people. You know what I mean? Just talking to people, letting everybody know what's going on. Amen. And won't tell people, amen, that I'm the genesis of this problem.
Woo! Man, that's the one.
So we see, because of Amnon's obsession, amen, he was open to unwise counsel. And that gets us to our second point of violation. Violation, verses 7 through 19. It says, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying down, and she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out everyone from me. So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the chamber that I may eat it from your hand.
Mm.
And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister.
Mm.
She answered him, no, my brother. Do not violate me. For such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king. I think this is the part you guys didn't get in the reading. Please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up, go. But she said to him, no, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore. And she laid her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. Violation is a failure to respect someone's peace, privacy, and rights. We see here that what made this violation so grievous is that Tamar is innocent.
All the way.
How do we see her innocence? She is obedient to her father.
Yeah.
She cared for her brother by baking him bread.
Yeah.
She is oblivious to the plot. Even after Amnon's first refusal, she takes the cake into the room to feed it to him. Obsession cares nothing about innocence. It only cares for personal satisfaction.
Yeah.
Obsession cares nothing for sincere love.
Yeah.
Obsession is not kind or meek. It demands its own way.
Yeah.
It cares not about the truth, and it is hopeless. So the only thing left for Amnon to do was to humiliate Tamar. And that's what he does. Humiliation is to embarrass and disrespect or degrade someone. She pleaded for her innocence. She pleaded because God's people do not act this way. She pleaded because of the lasting effect upon her life. She spoke about the lasting shame on his life. She even asked him to speak to the king. She said he might give me to you. Maybe she said that as a delay tactic.
Yes.
Because it was unlawful to do.
That's right.
But Amnon was determined to feed his desire. So he did not listen to Tamar's plea. He was stronger than Tamar. He forced her and violated her. Tamar's humiliation doesn't end there. After he finishes the rape, his so-called love turns to hate, and he tells her to go. He tells her to get up and go. His first words was to come to me. But now his words are to get up and go. She protests to him again about sending her away is a greater humiliation than the rape. Deuteronomy 22 and 29 says, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. And that was to a virgin that was caught in the field. But he was not supposed to put her out, supposed to keep her all of her days. Couldn't divorce her. But Amnon, as before, still does not listen. It's bad to have a hard head. It gets you in more trouble. The Bible said that he that is often rebuked and hardens his neck shall be cut off, and that without remedy.
That's right.
And that's what we see happening here in Amnon's case. He's hardening his neck. He had his way, and now he wants to get rid of his sister. You see here, before Amnon, as before, he still does not listen. He calls for his servant and has her thrown out and the door bolted. Didn't want her even coming back in. He thinks he's bolting the door against his sin, because the sight of her lets him know what he did. And what we say sometimes, out of sight, out of mind, that ain't true all the time. Amen. Because when you close the door, amen, what's in your brain still is hanging around. Amen. But listen here. She brought the amen, the outrageous behavior up close. And he wanted to get rid of her. So we see here, she bolts the door. He bolted the door against her, but he also bolted the door against his own self. For being able to get the help that he needed. He's going down a road he doesn't know the end to. He's going down a road that he wished he would not have went.
Faith is sealed.
But he bolts the door. And it says here, Tamar reveals the intensity of her sorrow by tearing her dress and putting ashes on her head.
Wow.
Her dress was the dress that the king's daughters, virgin daughters, would wear. Amen. And now she has been violated, and she feels the force of that violation. She put ashes on her head, and then she tears her dress, putting her hands in her head and crying aloud as she went. Tamar's purity has been violated. Her prospects for marriage have now been limited. Emotions are in turmoil, embarrassment, and disrespect. And this brings us to this first question. And we're going to be closing here. But she asks Amnon this question. Let me see what verse it is. Verse 13. After she told him, don't do this outrageous stuff, she says in verse 13, as for me, where could I carry my shame? What or who can I carry this shame to?
Nobody.
So we see how
nobody's with
you. It might be more evident in that day and time, because to be raped and treated in that kind of way, and the prospects of marriage would be greatly hampered during that time and in that place. Amen. She felt damaged. Amen. And she was wondering, well, can I take this shame too? Who's going to warn me after you did what you did to me? Where can I carry my shame? Amnon could not answer that.
Didn't care.
And he didn't care. He couldn't answer that question. And Absalom, her brother, could not free her from the shame, even though he loved her and took care of her. But I wish he was born, amen, 1,000 years later. Amen. During the times, amen, where there was a man that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Amen. I wish he could have came during Peter's time when he said, listen, cast all your care on him, because he careth for you. And the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. She had for 12 years tried to find out, how can I free myself of this shame? How can I free myself, amen, of this constant bleeding? I can't even get to the temple anymore because of my condition.
Unclean.
And how, amen, can I alleviate myself, amen, from this shame? Amen.
Preach to me.
And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Amen. And she had to crawl through the crowd. Amen. But she got a hold to the one that could help her with her shame. And I wish Tamar was born during that time. Amen. Because I could feel the heaviness, amen, of her soul. And I know you women can feel it more than I can feel it. If you were in our condition, gee, you would be asking, how can I alleviate myself from this shame? And I'd like to tell you, amen, the greatest alleviator from any pain, amen, is Jesus himself. Amen, is Jesus himself. Amen, so whatever it takes, amen, for you to get to him, amen, he's the one that will bear your shame. Amen, he bore our sorrows. All of our sins and our cares was put on him. Now, amen, we no longer have to live in shame anymore. Amen, because of him, we don't have to bear the unbearable. Praise the Lord. We don't have to bear the unbearable anymore. Oh, it's dark in this place. Amen, it's dark in this chapter. Amen, and there's not anybody in there, amen, that you could find to help us get out of this darkness. There's not anybody amongst the characters that are there. Not even David could help Tamar. Amen. Even though later we'll find out he becomes angry at what was done, but he could not help his daughter.
God.
Why? Because he's a type of Christ. Not the very thing. David was powerful in his time and God blessed him. Amen. But a greater than David has come. And he is able to handle all of our shame. So that's why you came to him. Amen. You could have been a drug addict. Bearing all these drugs and all the stuff that you did in your life. You could have been an alcoholic. Amen. Bearing all of that stuff that you did in your life. Amen. And how you disrespected yourself. Disrespect your white people. Amen. But listen here. Jesus has shoulder big enough to carry that and carry anything else that you got to handle. Jesus has shoulders, amen, that can carry murder, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to live with my shame any longer. You don't have to live with your shame any longer. Just come to him. He no longer in these dark pages, amen. Amen. In these dark chapters, amen, there doesn't seem to be one, but there is a light on the horizon, amen. Amen. It's been prophesied since Genesis. There's a light on the way. Amen. But Tamar couldn't see it. She didn't know where to take her shame to. Amen. But I know that woman with the issue of blood. Amen. She heard, amen, that there was a man. Amen. That was healing all other kind of people. Amen. She heard that he was there. And she said, if I can just get to him. Amen. Because nobody here can handle what I got. I've been to doctors. Amen. I've been all around. I've spent all I have. And still I sit here with my problem. Amen. But she pressed through the crowd. Paid no money. Amen. Amen. Didn't even talk to the man. Just touched the man. The man was on his way and he said, listen here, somebody touched me. I feel the burden that already touched me. Amen. Yeah, she said, somebody, and he said, look at all these people around you.
Virtue.
Somebody with a weight just touched me. Somebody with something nobody could help just touched me. Praise the Lord. Jesus can sense your problems. He can sense the weight that you have. He can sense the burden of unforgiven sin. He can sense that you need him. I tell you, be like that woman. Press through the crowd. Say, Lord, I'm getting hold of you. Because that's the only help I got. Amen. That's the only help I got. Faith will get you there.
Amen.
You wonder how can I get there? Faith will get you there.
Come on, man.
Praise the Lord.
Bring it out.
Faith will get you there. Faith cometh by hearing.
And then hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. Believe what you heard.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Believe what you heard. Amen. And that's all that woman with the issue of blood did. She believed what she heard. She believed the gospel and said, I'm going to get to him.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes.
God is good. God is good. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to see this. You got to be open up to you. You know, you're sitting around here, you don't know what's going on, and your life is all out of control, and you trying to deal with this, and you trying to deal with that, you trying to deal with this.
Yeah.
Amen. What you need to do, listen to me, church. What you need to do, listen to me, saints. What you need to do, hear what I'm saying. Don't miss what I'm saying. Amen. If you find your life in such disrepair, the weight of your decisions have weighed you down. Listen to me. Cast your care on him. Because he cares for you. And if you cast it on him, don't try to take it back off and carry it again. Just leave it there.
That's right.
Psalm said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
That's right.
If you trust and never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Are you casting your care? Or are you keeping hold of your care? Are you trying to figure things out?
Yeah.
Oh, remember this word. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who give to men all men liberally and won't take away. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. You sing the song.
Yes.
You be just prancing around when you sing the song. He gonna work it out. Amen. You just be clapping tambourine. He gonna work it out. And then after you sing the song, you go try to work it out yourself. You forgot the part of the song that said, Jesus will work it out if you let it. So you got to cast your care on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. You got to weight on your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
You know, and sometimes weight is too heavy to carry.
Uh-huh.
Some weight is too heavy to carry.
Uh-huh.
You need help.
Yeah.
You need help.
Yes.
You can't do it alone. I'm talking to the saints. You need help.
That's right.
God, when Peter wrote that, he was talking to the saints. Cast all of your care on him. Because he careth for you. And when he care for you, he's going to take that weight. When he take that weight, he's going to tell you what to do in order not to receive any more weight.
Yes, sir.
Do this. You're going to be free. When you do this, you're going to be free. You ever notice when God speak to you and you hear it and then you do it, you know how free that is?
Yeah.
You still in the same circumstance, but you've given it to him.
That's right.
Anxiety gone. Pressure gone. Listen here. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability. So I put it in his hand. And I'm going to go. I'm going to go sit down. And see what was that? I think that was Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and see what he's going to do. And he told him, listen here, I'm going to do a thing in your time that if you see it, amen, you won't believe it. Amen. Listen here, that's the same thing with your life. If you put it in his hand, amen, go sit down and look at what he's going to do. He's not going to do it your way. Because your way is the way that got you in trouble. Your way is the one that got you to wait. He ain't going to do it your way. He's going to do it his way. But in the end, the results are going to be better.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess I could go on, but I'll leave it there.
Thank God.
Amen. I'll leave it there with that one point.
That's a good note.
That one point. Where could I carry my shame?
Wait on God.
Where?